And Father, also we lift up, well, Candy's family who went to be with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that she is with you. We thank you who she was, and she was a blessing to be here with us. But she is perfect now. She's no longer struggling with cancer or anything, and you took her finally, Lord, to be with you. We ask for grace for her family and that you continue to do good work through them as you did with our sister Candy. And we thank you for who she was, Lord. She was a blessing, and now she's also a blessing to everyone up there, and we look forward to the day that we are with her. But please be with her family, Lord, and continue to remind her family who she was, and even us, Lord, that everything she did, she just really was a wonderful lady, and we thank you, Father, for who she was and everything that she did here and the work she did for you. And Lord, she's probably enjoying all that you are giving her in rewards. So we thank you, Father, and we pray for her family that you just be with them continually. And also for Una, we don't know what it is. It's unspoken, it says. It could be salvation, healing, provision, deliverance. We don't know, Father, but we're asking your hand be upon her. And with this petition that you would deliver her, that you would set her free, that you would heal her, provide what she needs, get her out of whatever situation it might be, or whatever she's going through, you know. Just, Holy Spirit, be with her, comfort her, and deliver her. And send people also, or just cause her to meet people that can help this lady in the issues she's going through, whatever the case may be, Lord, even in her body. And also for Joe, traveling mercies, that I guess they're still traveling, but you continue to be with them, use them, protect them, and guide them, Lord. And thank you that they're able to travel, Father, wherever they're going. And for Anthony, Scott, and his family, again, we're bringing him before you and asking for a healing from his surgery, and I think he is healing from that, but also from the internal issues he has and the OCD, that you would just deliver him and set him free and give wisdom to his family, Father, and we will continue to bring him before you until you give us an answer as well on what to do, Lord. So we're asking for your direction in his life, for his family. Also for Jamie, healing. The markers in cancer is up, but we're asking that you would again heal her cancer and that you would give wisdom to the doctors or supernaturally heal her. Be with her and her family and just, Lord, take away any anxiety or fear. Help them to rest in you and speak to them through your word and through your servants, whether they're ministering angels or your servants here in the flesh. Also for Sarah, healing. From COVID, we don't know if she's regained any movement in her arm, or if her heart is better after taking the shot. We're asking for your mercy, Lord Jesus, please. This is a difficult thing that you know we're going through and people are taking it or not or whatever the case is, but you say in your word that we can take up poison and not be harmed, and I don't know if she knows you or not. And if this does not glorify you, please take it from her. Let her be healed and let her come back to normal, Lord, and let the people see your supernatural touch that you are the one who protects, regardless of the vaccine or not vaccine or COVID. Lord God, you know us. You know. And we come to you for the ultimate protector and asking that you would just deliver and heal her. Also, again, for Justine, that you would give her the position where she can spend more time with Mark. And we thank you that Mark did get the position he wanted. But we're lifting her up and asking that you would give Justine the proper position so she can spend more time with her husband. And also, Father, for Lizzie, in the hospital with COVID is Virginia, Angelo, Rick, David, Lisa, David, Earl, and Paul. And Father, some are in the hospital who didn't take the vaccine and caught COVID, and some have caught COVID even though they take the vaccine. We're asking for your mercy, Father. We're asking for your healing and your deliverance and that you just open people's eyes to whatever you want them to do, that they would not do things out of fear, Father. Your word says that you don't give us a spirit of fear. So I'm asking that you'd give everyone on this list love, peace, and a sound mind and a trust in you, and bring your servants and the doctors to give them what is really needed to deliver them from COVID. And also for people on the cancer list again, Debbie, Blancy, Betty, Frank, and Chuck. that again you would do whatever your will is. And we're asking, of course, that your will would be to heal them, be with their family, be with them as well, so they're not fearful in the struggle that they're going through and the doctors. And that also, Lord Jesus, that the cure would be revealed, that it would just come out, because we know there's a cure, Father, but you know how humans are. So I'm asking for you to just cure them and everyone there, and also all of us who are here. You know our hearts and our minds before you, and I'm asking that you would just continue to govern us, lead us, and guide us. Help us with the issues we may have, and everyone who's watching at home, the known and the unknown, and that you would open our eyes to your truth, not only now before we go with your word, but as we walk day to day in the light of you and through the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Help us to not conform to this world, but to continue to conform to you and to have love, peace, and a sound mind, and not to walk in fear. So give us every day, Lord, what we need, and I thank you that you continue to transform us. So go before us, Lord Jesus, and thank you, and open our hearts and minds to the word that is being brought now, Lord, that is your word. So we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to recap last week's, which was, we looked at that, and it was the blame game. Everyone had their part to play in the blame game. We looked at what was perfection, because we had to deal with the wording where God says to Adam, "Where are you?" And the difficult words, "Can you drop something? I think I'm squeaking or something." There we go. Thank you. And the difficult wordings that are going to come up also when God says certain things. We talked about what perfection is, being finite, understanding the infinite in perfection, and God's viewpoint of what perfection was. God doesn't need our defense. We want to make sure that we're not trying to defend God the way Peter did and hinder his work. We looked again at love, what love requires, and some people are here, so I'm going to just say love requires free will. Free will requires choice. Choice requires consequences. In all of that, you have causality, cause and effect. So we looked at what God can do. It's not a contradiction for God to know and not know a thing. God can do anything he wants. He could know the outcome and not the outcome for the sake of relationship. He sees every aspect but chooses not to see what decision you're going to make so he can have relationship with us, because everything God makes is below him. Therefore, he meets us where we are at, because we cannot look upon God. Otherwise, what happens? We're dead. We can't see perfection at this point in time. So to us, yes. To God, no. In other words, we can't comprehend total perfection. And that's what we looked at. God could do everything. What else did I miss? Did I miss something else we talked about? Because that was just off the top of my head. Now everyone's on the spot. Oh man, I don't remember what you talked about. That's okay. There was a poll done, and 90% of what someone preaches up here is forgotten. Only 10% is taken. That's okay, because it keeps you coming back. But we talked about how everyone will blame everyone else. You see the blame game being played, and in the end, humans ourselves, we like to blame God for things that do or do not happen to us. That's a thing we should never do, because it is not God's fault. It's also causality. So if you want to look at that, to a certain degree, God's going to be like, here are my laws. Here's what I said. If you do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen. If I drop something, gravity will come into play, because those are everything that God ordained in the natural or the supernatural. It all is in God's hands. That's good enough, right? What do you think? Yeah? We also talked about the serpent, and how the serpent basically means dragon, and it seemed like he could have been a dinosaur that was actually beautiful, because we know God said, "Cursed are you above all cattle and livestock." Everything that they did had a direct effect on us, creation, and animals. So it could have been a dinosaur that looked really pretty and was forced to go on its on the ground and not literally eat dirt, but all the days on the light, it'll be on its belly. So those are some possible things that we talked about, and especially the word. And I didn't bring the book and I didn't read it, but I have a book and I got it from the Ark Encounter. It talks about the myths and legends of dragons, And I don't know if any of you know anything about the history of dragons. You know there's dragons painted in Arizona in the desert from the Native Americans. We know that Alexander the Great spoke about dinosaurs and elephants fighting together in India. We know that there's a lot of knights who killed dragons. And the story and the list goes on and on and on. As early as the 1900s, there were some explorers also that said they saw a dinosaur, a huge lizard, because lizards don't stop growing. They continue to grow. But when you look at why there isn't any more dinosaurs, is man hunted them to extinction. If you look at the Vikings and the story of, Beowulf and some of their other warriors, there was a instruction on how to kill a dinosaur. One was that when you approach it, and it seemed like it was a T-Rex, you get underneath it, and you pull on its arms because it cannot bite you. And his arms are so weak that you can rip them off and it bleeds to that. And that you are to stay underneath the dinosaur or the dragon until it dies. So it's funny because you hear these instructions from a lot of people back in the day. And when you think about that, well, would it work? Well, yeah, it would work because their hands are small, and if they have a knife with them and you cut them, the dinosaur can't bite you when you're underneath it if you're holding on. Now, they must have had some type of tactics to do. But anyway, they give you advice on how to deal with a dragon in all of these, what is called myths. But there is certain truth to all that stuff. When you think about it and you look at all the history of the dinosaurs and people encountering dragons and killing them. All right, so we're going to take a look again at verse 16. I stopped at verse 16 when God spoke to the woman. See, I can go on forever. I totally forgot my timer. All right. As you're looking, I'm going to start my timer, and I'm going to give myself, I talk like 5 minutes, let's say, right? All right, at least. I'll give it 10 minutes. So we're going to go back to verse 16 and talk a little bit more about that and end, hopefully, this chapter today. So in verse 16, God said to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And I talked about how the word sorrow means labor. Conception is development. And what he's saying here, again, that he will multiply the labor and development of the child in the womb, and it's going to come through pain. I was thinking about that, and there's no way I can say it in a good, tactful way how it would have been, because it didn't seem like it was painful. Maybe like an annoyance, like a scratch, or maybe, and I forgive me, maybe it was something like feeling like your stomach in a bowel movement. I don't know, because it didn't hurt, but it's like, oh, what is this? I got to get rid of it. We don't know, but pain wasn't there. The labor wasn't laborious and long and painful, and neither was the development. It could have been 3 months, 6 months. We don't know. So let's move on to verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. And I'm going to stop here, and I want to take time to look at the word, he heeded the voice of his wife. And remember, we talked about why did he listen to Eve? So when you think about that, Adam knew what? I said one thing, but he actually knew two things. He knew that being alone is wrong. It is not good for man to be alone. And that if he eats of the tree, he will die. That's bad. So he knew two things. But he listened to his wife. He knew it's not good to be alone. She didn't die. And when you're thinking about what possibly happened, he also probably loved her, and he chose her instead of God. And why would he do that? Why did he listen to his wife? Because his wife probably said, look, eat it. Specifically says he listened. And he listened to his detriment, of course. So he also probably saw that she didn't die. So it cast doubt in his mind. And he took the fruit and ate. And that is what I saw. And when I think about why would he listen to her? All of those go into play. And if any one of us were there, it would happen to us as well. We would start doubting probably. Well, you didn't die. But he misunderstood. You know, we looked at the word and what it meant. Dying, you will die, is what it meant in the Hebrew. So if you do, you will most certainly die, is what it was. But when you're looking at that, and you're looking at, I thought about this, who was to blame for the fall? And I went through the gambit, and I said, way before it was Eve's fault. I did what Charlie did. It's Adam's fault. What about the serpent? Isn't it the serpent's fault? What do you guys think? Who do you think is to blame? Satan. You know what? You got it, Satan. Why is that? You're looking at what God said to Adam because you heard the voice of your wife. And when you think about that, there's a lot of voices in this world that we listen to that we shouldn't. Adam listened to Eve. Eve listened to the serpent. The serpent listened to Satan. Each one of them listened to the wrong voice instead of the voice they should have listened to from the beginning, who gave them life, which is God. They didn't listen. They didn't go back. And we all still have that issue in our lives. We can listen to the wrong voices. A little bit is what I read earlier today. Everyone is competing for our thoughts and our voices today. But when you look at Matthew 10:37, what does God say? Jesus. He says, whoever loves father, mother, brother, sister, children, in general, anything more than me is not worthy of me. And what is he saying when he says that? He's reflecting, it seems to me, back to Genesis. They made the mistake of not listening, and look at where they are. And if you guys do the same thing, it's going to happen as well. We can't choose anything in this world more than Christ Jesus. Whatever we put before him, it could be your favorite team. It could be your television. It could be your political party. It could be a certain food. It can be a certain car. It can be a certain instrument. Guitar man. It could be the time you sleep, the time you wake up. It could be anything that is contrary to what God speaks to you. Anything. The way we dress or don't dress. The way we speak or don't speak. Because the Bible tells us how to act and how to be. We're supposed to conform to his image. But whenever we put anything before God again, what happens? It's an idol. And one of the best idols we can have today, which we all have, is a TV. Remember I talked about what the word idol meant? It's basically just a conduit. They looked at that. Remember I told you that culture is very important to understand when you're looking at the Bible. The culture in that time, the idol was the conduit or their TV to tune into their God to speak through and hear. Now you could turn on your TV and look at anything that you want for that day. Is this not Rome again? Can we not choose any God we want? All I got to do is turn the TV to any channel I want and let it feed me and let it change me, especially in this pliable brain that we all have. TV can be used for good, but in the end, technology is evil because man is evil. Everything that God created is good, but when man gets a hold of it, even if it's for good, sooner or later it's going to turn bad because he just can't help himself if he does not know Christ and follow him. So they listen to the wrong voices, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at a couple of different voices going on in the scriptures. And earlier we looked at verse 16. Two things I want to bring up right now, and that was the word desire. I talked a little bit about it. But God says, now your desire will be for your husband. Now she's going to have loving control over him is what she's going to want. Now I'm putting that in a soft way. She's going to want to lovingly control him because she knows what's best for him. And in the same token, man is going to rule over him because he's going to want to protect her. Forget the part that he's going to want to dominate her. He's going to want to protect her. And dominate her.
Right.
So in the fall, you have a woman lovingly controlling her husband or wanting to, and a man protecting and dominating his wife. Instead of being equals, they're there. Hence the battle of the sexes, which I touched on. We're going to get into a little bit of a battle of the sexes and how this affects us, our society. I talked yesterday about, last week, I was going to talk about the women's liberation. Is women's lib good or bad? Today it is bad. Was it always bad? No. Because when you're looking at the context here, man, since the beginning, has treated woman as a piece of property and dirt. If you look at the history of that and how women were treated, they were protected and abused because they were property. Men didn't look at them anymore as equals. Yes, they still had the desire in them to protect, but they would use and abuse them. Hence, women's liberation. What was women's liberation about? Equal rights, voting, fair wages, not looked upon in any different way. It was right. And God allows these things. As I talked earlier, what happens, just like when you see in the Bible, God can bless people and then they change. He can give them kingdoms, then they take advantage of it. Women's liberation turned more into now the right for women to have an abortion. That's the number one thing a woman should strive for. Or a woman's right to wear whatever she wants. It doesn't matter if her butt is hanging out. It's for the sake of women's liberation. Wear what you want because you're a woman and you should be proud of it. Not to mention the fact that they never stand up for women who are abused in pornography, who are constantly taken and they're trafficked. Maybe they're helping with that a little bit, but pornography is a woman's right. And if you study the history of pornography and the psychology behind that, what is that? It's a man protecting, supposedly, but controlling her through alcohol and drugs. Same thing when you talk about women who are making a lot of money in stripping. Now, working at the Hard Rock, I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people about God. Came out of all that life. I talked to a lot of strippers. I talked to a lot of hookers. Talked to a lot of male hookers and male strippers and entertainers because I used to hang out with them. Now, when you look at TV, when you go to those places, you think that everyone is happy. No, they're not. They're not happy. They are dead inside and desperate for relationship. They want someone to come alongside them and help them and take them out of there. The amount of times I sat with them preaching the gospel and tears break out of their eyes because they want someone to deliver them from a place they found themselves that this isn't what I thought it was. That goes for men too. But see, men are a little difficult because they got that pride action going on in them. So when you hear about all of this, and not to mention Sharia law, it's never talked about. But if you go in those cultures where, if you go in other countries where Sharia law is, the women are desperate. There are a lot of Muslim women who are going and saying, no, this is wrong. They're helping the ladies. But you don't hear today's Americans women's liberation talking about that. It totally went off track because they listened to too many voices that they shouldn't have. Instead of sticking to the beginning of it, bringing the Bible in their cause. Their social cause was good and then it left the Bible. So there, that's what happened to women's liberation. And in that, it's emasculating. Is that the right word, wife back there? Yes, thank you. I used to say another word, but it's men are being emasculated because they're trying to relate more to women. They're also saying that women should be more like men. You're looking at the military, and they're changing their regulations, whatever they're supposed to do to go in there, they're changing it, they're lowering their standards to in order to get a woman in so they can be on the battlefield. Now, there was this one woman who was in the military, and she did a study afterwards. And she was a lady, and she said, there's no way a woman can compete with a man. She was suffering injuries inside of her body because she was trying to be a Marine. Most Marines can't even do it. But she said that her body was literally breaking down. The tissue was breaking down. Men's tissue, women's tissue is totally different. The muscle is different. So you can't. But that's what the world is saying right now because they listen to a different voice. It used to be great. Women have come a long way. They fought for their rights, and praise the Lord, they have them. They are not how it used to be. Is there still abuse? Yes. But that's in general. You're always going to have abuses here and there between people, men and women. There are actually men who are abused by women, but because they are men, they will not dare say it. They're not. There are men who are physically abused. Now, if I was abused by my wife, I ain't going to tell you all. That's an embarrassment. Men's pride is in the way. It really is. I ain't going to say that. I'm just going to say, yeah, I was outside. I was fighting someone, and I took him down to help this lady. My wife is beating me up. But see, there's a difference of the psyche between men and women. What the construct of our society tells us what we should be is totally wrong. It's always been wrong. The voices that the world tells us are wrong. So, besides that voice, we have the next voice that the world is telling us. Now it's the battle of no sexes, or the battle of the transgender movement. Now, remember, everything that a person does affects the other person. There's causality. We're seeing the causality between the sins and punishments. We're seeing the line going on, and it affects. I've said this before, that in divorce, it affects a minimum of 12 people when people get divorced, because you got to think of yourselves, your immediate family, and your extended family, and also your friends. So everything we do affects someone else. It's just the laws that God made. We all are supposed to work together. But when you're thinking about the transgender movement, does it make sense? Is it right? Can people really change? Is it logical? Is it scientific? Well, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to leave it up to this wonderful scientist doctor. Remember the volume.
And let the people online see. Transgender ideology holds that people can be born into the wrong body. It's simply not true. Human sexuality is binary. Okay, we know this because in nature, reproduction is the rule. And human beings, we engage in sexual reproduction. You need a man and a woman to do that. Women are XX. Those are the sex chromosomes. Women have two XXs. Men have an X and a Y. Those are genetic markers. They're genetic markers for female and male, respectively. Okay, binary. That's the rule, and it's self-evident. Transgender, someone who identifies as transgender, however, that's not a problem in their body. Gender identity, all identities, they're in our thoughts. Thoughts and feelings, those are not hardwired. They develop. And they may be factually wrong or factually correct. The definition of a delusion is a fixed false belief. So if I persistently, consistently insist that I am Margaret Thatcher, or persistently, consistently insist that I am a cat, or I'm an amputee trapped in a normal body, I am delusional. And in fact, there are people who believe they are amputees trapped in a normal body. They are appropriately diagnosed as having body identity integrity disorder. If you want to cut off an arm or a leg, you're mentally ill. But if you want to cut off healthy breasts and genitals, oh, then you're transgender and you don't have a mental illness. Individuals with disorders of sex development are being used as pawns in the fight for basically a civil right to a mental illness. There's no such thing as a civil right to a mental illness. But that is, in fact, what we are dealing with the transgender rights movement.
And America is leading the way in insanity. It amazes me that a country like France, which is extremely liberal, is looking at us and saying, you guys are crazy with this transgender movement. Really, that's what they're saying. You're taking it too far. We're talking about France here. Instead of getting these people help, they're listening to the wrong voices and saying that it's okay. Now, a lot of these things are demonic. A lot of this happens when you're a child. A lot of it happens through sexual molestation. And it's a demonic issue. Now, someone may say, nah, that makes no sense. That's ridiculous. Someone who may not believe in God. Okay, that's ridiculous, but yet you believe in aliens. Because what's going on right now, you see it on TV, they're seeing a lot of UFOs now. UFOs and unidentified flying objects that are doing things that a ship should not be. Are we not in the end times? And the interesting thing about that is because many people are going to fall for that and think that there are aliens. They're going to come and tell us what to do and what not to do. There are several well-known psychics who are in touch with these aliens who have said this interesting thing. And there are studies done with these people who have been abducted. They said the number one thing that all these abductees have in common, that they are not Christians. Everyone was a non-Christian, and they have the same experience with these aliens who did things on them, right? And these psychics predicted that the aliens are going to come back, get rid of the people who are causing issues in this world, Christians, basically, and life will be great. Now, isn't that unusual that they're hearing this and that relates to the Bible? The rapture, right? Yeah. It's amazing, but people are believing that, right? And if you know anything about demons or have had experiences with demons, they are doing what these aliens are doing, exactly. When these people are getting abducted, it's exactly what aliens do. I'm not going to go too deep into that, that's about it, but I know enough with my experiences with demons, angels, and all that stuff to know what they do. Paul said, we're not unaware of Satan's tricks. And we are not either because we have the Bible. But when you hear things like this, this isn't aliens. It's the devil coming like that. You can't believe in a demon because that's not scientific, but an alien is, who is going to speak through psychics, who's going to take these people and do what demons do to people, which we are going to get more in depth when we get to your favorite topic, the Nephilim. Later on, but not now. So, looking at the transgender movement, another issue they have is, where is this leading to? Where are these voices leading in our lives? We see where it led Adam and Eve, or it's going to, but it led also to the Equality Act that's going on through Biden. What's a little piece in there that says what? That kids could choose their gender. They can choose to be a male or a female. Who is supposed to raise their children? We are, right? We're supposed to train them the way they go. We just heard from this lady who's a doctor saying that it's a genetic marker. You are what you are. You don't choose to be what you are. You're either a female or male. What's another thing that we know about children? They don't know who they are. Their brains are not developed. There's a certain stage, and no one wants to hear this, in your life from adolescence till about teens or maybe a little bit more, where your body or in the flesh, in the sinful flesh, you are prone to have an attraction to both because you don't know. And that happens. You want to say something, brother? Yes, it takes male to determine the sex of a child. Wow. Right. Yeah. But even in that, when you're thinking about what she's saying, the point she's making is you are a male or a female. Right. And when you're looking at all this stuff and you're looking at children, giving them the decision to decide what they want to be, they don't have the capacity to understand what male and female is. To them, it's just dress up. They don't have the capacity in their brain, the intellect. They don't have the logic. It's developing. Matter of fact, your brain is fully developed at 25, past 25. That is why insurance companies will tell you your rate will drop after you're 25 or at 25 because your brain stops developing, more so for boys than women. But where is that leading to? Right? Right? Where is all this leading to?
The hermaphrodite she doesn't deal with, which I do in a lot of...
Well, we'll talk about that a little later. Yeah. Hermaphrodite is different. It's a genetic defect.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking about this, it's leading to what? Children, if they can change their sex, why can't they have sex? And see, these are the little voices that lead to it because it's happening in other countries. We know that there's a lot of people in government that have children with sex. Oh no, I'm going to be banned by Facebook now because they're going to try to say it's misinformation. We know that because of what's his name? The guy who supposedly killed himself? Epstein, who has ties with everyone.
Right, right.
Right? He has ties with a lot of government, well-known government people who were in the government, who were running for this, that, and the other, having sex with children. Pizzagate is wrong. All that is wrong. It's interesting because when you think about the sex trafficking, it's generally women and children around the world. They go to other countries. Where are they all getting them from? It can't just be from those countries. We know that they're taking children here. Now, there's a lot of children also who can't discern right or wrong from that. They are, when that happens to them, it feels good. Because the sexual feeling is a sexual feeling. Then they're led astray. They may first feel they don't want to do this, but as time goes on, they're led astray. There was this documentary years and years ago about the sex traffic in Mexico. They interviewed this 9-year-old girl. You would never know she's 9-year-old other than by looking at her. Because everything she did was a mature woman, smoking, talking, all that stuff. Her innocence was taken from her. And she didn't know any better. She was still ignorant. She was still young. Even though she talked the way she did, for her, that was her life. It was robbed from her. And what happened after the interview? 2 weeks later, she was found dead. Many of these kids are getting killed from the powers that be that tell us what is right and wrong. Listening to the voices of the world, even Christians are prone to that. Remember, because Peter himself, Jesus said, you are speaking through the devil. Remember, Jesus didn't want Christ to die on the cross and save us all. And even in this, how does it directly affect the women's liberation? Because they were open for transgenderism, for the homosexual union, the LGBTQ. They were saying, yes, we're for this. But what are they saying now? All you got to do is look at women's sports when they are becoming dominated by transgender men. And the women are starting to complain. The weightlifting was dominated by the women, but here comes a transgender man saying, I'm going to take some steroids or I won't be as strong. He's winning and breaking records. Their track and field are winning and breaking records. See, but the media would make you think that everything is good and no one's against this. Yes, the eyes of the women who said, I should have had a V8, are thinking, why did I support this?
Right.
Because of causality again. You listen to the wrong voice, you fall into the trap of Adam and Eve, including Christians, when you support all these things and think it's okay, it's out of love. That's where it's at now. And now they're regretting their decision to support the LBG movement, whatever it is.
The alphabet.
The alphabet. It is, they're regretting it. Because people generally don't think ahead. They live for the now. But we as Christians are taught through Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, to think of the future. Why? Because we're looking forward to the future. We should understand causality and everything has a cause and effect. If a person does this, this is going to happen. But nobody sees that anymore because they listen to the voice of the world. They listen to the media. They turn on their God and choose what to look at. And we have to be careful we don't do the same thing either. When it comes to politics, it is really difficult for me. Because when you turn on the TV, the truth is that the media is owned by the left. You're going to get what they preach. I read it to you and what they spin. They're going to tell you something different that's not true. And I'm not saying that the Republican Party is perfect. I say it again, it's the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Right.
One side gets the Christian vote and the other side gets the secular humanistic vote. And that's the way it is. Because you see what they go for. But as a Christian, as for me, and I say this before, I told you I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but it's almost no choice but to swing right. Because they say they stand for certain things. But even there, it's politics. Every Republican candidate would say we're against abortion, but not one of them started anything, other than I think Trump did before he left, to say, let's move something and stop this abortion, and let's overturn Roe versus Wade. So there's always politics, and both parties in the back end are shaking hands. Because they both bow down to a certain God. Yes, there are some who don't do that, but they're quieted and pushed to the side. But when we listen to the voices that tells us, this is the party you should be in, this is the sports team you should watch, you have given yourself up to that, and all of a sudden you've become more biased than you even think, to the point where you will follow regardless of the truth. The voices will lead you on like the Pied Piper does. And you follow, and you become deceived. Just like all these people are, and they're regretting their decisions. It's the Pied Piper who is preaching his gospel, leading people astray. So we see that in the transgender movement. And we see it in the homosexual movement as well. A lot of people being deceived to the time when children are going to say, lower it because they like what they're feeling. And if they like what they're feeling, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Because there is no absolute truth. There's subjective truth. I talked all about this. Which you know that statement in itself is illogical because you've just said a truth statement. So it's self-defeating. And that's what you see in the movement right now. It's going to lead to children having sex and, of course, Sodom and Gomorrah. which we'll get into when we get to Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's where you're looking at the battle of the sexes going astray. Instead of coming together and trying to solve problems in the way of the Bible, they're fighting each other, men and women. And we see that right now. You see, if you look on YouTube a lot, everyone's saying this, that, and the other. Everyone is lost because of all the voices of the media deceiving people. If you don't structure yourself and really know the Bible and follow it, it's easy to be led astray. You can, really, if you stop going to church for a couple of weeks and you're not listening to the Word at home, you're not doing anything, you can easily turn. And I've done that to test it. And you do. No matter how close one day you can be with God, you can easily turn away. We're no different than Adam and Eve. Right. If they can turn away being in the presence of God, how much easier it is for us, who here and there we may say we feel God. And it is. It is amazingly easy. And that is a dangerous thing because of all the voices coming around us telling us, you're okay to do that. You're okay to walk that way. This is your right. We don't have any rights. We are sold slaves to Christ. He is right. So you see the difference, what's happening now, the women's liberation, the transgender movement, men dominating and saying they can do what they want. The suicide rates are high in the transgender and the homosexual. And the media would like to tell you because they're not being accepted. That's not true. In the countries that are the most accepted, the suicide rate is high. Why is that? Because the voices inside of them is telling something contrary to the way they were created by God. Telling them this is who you should be. What you're looking for is not cutting off or adding on or putting high heels or putting on a mustache. It's just something that's trying to make fill in a gap that only God can. It's that, what is that? That part of your brain that is susceptible to religion. It's being filled in with something else other than God. And the rate is high. It's not because they're not being accepted. It really isn't. And I told you, we had someone come in a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a transgender man. How dare you? I rebuke you. No, it's a person who's being deceived by Satan.
Right.
That's it. Whether you're transgender or not, whether you're straight or not, or homosexual, whatever you are, you need Christ to straighten you out. So I don't see them any different. I know there's a different bondage there that someone else has because everyone has bondages. It's the different voice they have that someone else may have. So the last one I want to talk about is one that is really big out there, and that is the battle of the races. That's what you see going on right now. That's what you hear, and critical race theory is leading the way. Now, the problem with that is when you're thinking about, if you know what critical race theory is in a nutshell, it's basically saying, everyone here who is white, you are inherently racist. There's no denying it. Racist, racist. Racist, racist. Race, 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 race. Race, race. I don't think you are, Tim, because you have some Native American blood in you. You're good. You're good to go. Dave, you're racist. The rest of you are not. You're good. You're all right. Pare, you're okay. Critical race theory. You're okay too. Well, right now, I'll shoot it down for you. Critical race theory tells you that inherently white people are racist. The issue with that is they're starting to teach it in schools. The other issue is that they're toting it like black people are not against this. But they are. There are many people going up to their school boards, and Tim showed me one a couple of weeks ago, a couple of days ago. He showed me one of this man coming up and talking to the board and saying to them, it's not your job to train our children. It's your job to teach them math and science and all that stuff. We train them. This was a black man who was very articulate in stating his case. Black women as well. The people who are believing this, it's not the color of their skin. It's the ignorance of their heart. They're following the voice of ignorance to tell them that. And if you white people are inherently racist, by definition of the Bible, everyone is racist. If we are made in the image of God, and man created male and female, and in the Bible we're all the same, then Arnell, you're racist. My black wife is racist. We're all racist. This critical race theory is straight from Satan. It's right up there with the theory of evolution. and they're trying to indoctrinate the children. It was in the halls of academia and colleges. They're trying to debate, is it true or not? Now it's sinking in to high schools. And where is it going to wind up? Grade school, kindergartens. Because they're indoctrinating the kids with these other voices. Even Christians have fallen into this and believe that it's true. Now, what's the problem here? Is it the black problem? Is it the white problem? No, it's a human problem. You have black and white saying, yeah, it's true. You know what I am. Coca-Cola has hired a white lady to tell their employees to be less racist and less white. You have white privilege. Try not to be so white privileged. You act a certain way. You got to stop that because it's wrong. Do you think Coca-Cola really cares? They want to sell you a product. They will sway wherever the populist is to sell you that. So if you're drinking Coke, stop being less white and racist, all right? You may want to switch to Pepsi if they're going to follow that. And I obviously married my wife because I'm racist, and I wanted to prove to her and pay for all the sins of my ancestors. Even though there were gypsies, even though that they were slaughtered during the time of Hitler, I still have white blood in me. But I married her because I wanted to say I am so sorry that somewhere down the line my ancestors were racist. And thank you. Yes, and she beats me because I deserve it. Okay? Now, do you see the insanity of this? Do you see how the media totes this? And the people who are saying these things, a lot of them are falling into it. Professors are saying this. But here's the problem with this. It states that no one else can be racist. I know for a fact that blacks are racist, that Indians can be racist, that Filipinos, Mexicans can be racist. The good thing about all this, before all this race stuff came out, there still was Twitter. There's all these people who are now putting a flag up of, you know, equality, Black Lives Matter, and all that stuff. But they went back 9 years ago, this one girl, track and field star. There's a picture of her with the flag and being happy to be an American. They found a lot of racist tweets on white people, on Mexican Americans, and it was there. But now she's holding up this flag and talking about how racism is bad. See, it's a changing, it's a pendulum swing. And I'm not saying that racism didn't exist. But what also you don't hear when it comes to slavery and the races is the white slaves. They were white slaves. The Roman Empire did not care what color you are. The Vikings did not care what color you are. They would sell white slaves in the Middle East. All you got to do is look at all the old documents when they would sell the slaves. The word itself, when you're thinking of slave, is a Slavic word. It comes from there because it was the selling of white people. And you'll hear in the media the myth of the white slave or the Irish slave. You go back and forth. It's interesting how you have two historians saying no, yes and no. What is the issue right now? And why is the black thing so prevalent right now? It's because they were the last of the slaves. So it's in them. Of course you're going to be like that. But as things were getting better, the powers that be wanted to change things to rule the world. And of course it ushered it in. The people who stood up to the board said this is wrong. The black people said it's dividing us. Right. It's causing us to be racist. And it's causing black people to get away with racism. This whole critical race theory is racist to its core. Right. And anyone who says it is racist. But people don't realize that. Everyone is racist. Everyone is biased. Everyone chooses who they want to be with. And all you got to do is look at history, and that's why they don't teach history, because they don't want you to know that we are all the same. Everyone was sold. As a matter of fact, when you look at it, the white slave was valued less because he wasn't as strong and adaptable. That is why, another reason why, what they call the indentured servant of the Irish and others, is because when they would try to sell them, you look at all the ancient writings and documents that they did find, they're not water as much because they would get tired in the sun. They wouldn't be able to do it. So they weren't word as much. Sorry, you're not word as much. But the point of all this is when you're looking at this theory, it's dividing us. It's satanic because it goes against the word of God, where there is no Greek, Jew, slave, or free in Christ. We are all from Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And if a Christian believes this, they have listened to the voice of the devil. Just like it was being preached to Peter. And that's very dangerous. Because we're all brothers and sisters. There's no race. I can't even see her as black anymore. My wife. I don't know when I first saw her, and I'm prone to liking dark skin better. And here I am saying, I was like, ooh, look at her. But I no, it's not, you know. My daughter is half racist. So it's bad for her because she's going to be messed up. But do you understand, I'm making light of this, how ridiculous this theory is, how so many people are buying into us. A lot of professors who are black are saying, we need more segregation, segregation, segregation. And then it was on one, I don't know if it was on CNN or MSNBC, where the host was saying, well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't say that. He said it, it's in his book, you can look it up. The voices, the bias, the right and the left. None of this matters if you don't know Christ and you don't preach the gospel and you don't stand up for right in a loving way. And that's what it is. And I think, again, I didn't do it, did I? We're not going to go any further. We're going to stop. Because my watch says 40 minutes. That means I've been here for 50 minutes, right? Right? I tried, people. I really did. We're going to have to pick it up again next week. Part 2 of Voices. But what we leave with is critical race theory, demonic. We're all the same. A Christian should not believe that. We are descended from Adam and Eve. It's proven now that we all come from a same ancestor. Evolution wants to say we came from white and black monkeys. We all come from the same ancestors. When you're looking at what happened with the Battle of the Transgender Movement, it's a demonic or a psychotic issue that needs to be dealt with by prayer and love and compassion and a person telling them, let me show you a better way, the most excellent way. And finally, the battle of the sexes. Stop fighting each other if you're Christians. And you won't have to face the consequences of causality. So we'll pick this up again next week because I went over my time. Part 2 is coming next week. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word and your goodness and how you show us your truth. Help us, Lord, to see your truth and apply it in our lives and also to preach truth to others, Father, wherever you lead us. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, and I just lift up all these people who may be in these issues, Lord. Once again, everyone in politics, everyone in the transgender movement, everyone in the LGBT, whatever the other one is, community, that you would deliver them and restore them, Father. And everyone who is in every other sin, Lord, I'm asking for your hand and you use us to minister. That is your commandment to us, that we would preach your gospel of deliverance through you, Jesus Christ. So empower us, Lord. Lead us throughout the rest of the week to have encounters with people that would honor you, Lord, to speak truth and deliver them through the power of your Spirit, Lord, from captivity and voices that are ungodly to the voice of your Spirit. And thank you, Father, that we hear you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.